Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of men and women whose biggest challenge in the kitchen is when the recipe calls for setting the microwave on medium instead of high in the Noonan Media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
My wife is always the first to cotton to new TV cooking shows. I think it started with Two Hot Tamales on the Food Network many years ago and blossomed into the early days of Emerald Live. She dragged us into Hell's Kitchen and Top Chef. Hello, Padma. She also found the original Kitchen Nightmares on the BBC, and we discovered a much more entertaining Gordon Ramsay than found in the American incarnation. More recently, Mimi's become a fan of Chopped, a different kind of competition on the Food Network. This one is generally self-contained to a single episode, with four chefs facing off until one is left standing. Today, I'm talking to one of the first Chopped champions, Jackie Lee. Jackie, welcome to Mr. Media.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
What did you know about Chopped when you were picked to compete? It hadn't aired yet.
It hadn't aired yet, and I think I absolutely pretty much knew nothing. I just saw it as an opportunity to be on television, and they didn't really tell us a whole lot about the show itself. I guess they kind of wanted to see how it was going to play out. It was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done.
How so?
Competition-wise. Well, because of the time constraint and the sheer oddity of the mystery basket, you know, having one odd ingredient is one thing, but to have a, like, you know, three or four, even sometimes five odd ingredients that you have to, you know, put together in one cohesive dish. If you said, okay, you can use these in other variations, but if it's all going to be on one plate, it's pretty daunting.
What were the mystery ingredients on your show?
The first course, the appetizer course, was shrimp, green apple, and peanut butter. You know, I know. Actually, you know, everyone kind of took an Asian route, and it worked out because, you know, we converted, everybody kind of made a peanut dressing out of the peanut butter and, you know, the shrimp and apples. After that, it's not so difficult. I was the only one who actually took the time to cook the apples and made it into like an apple jalapeno chutney, so the judges liked that.
Good. And what about your second course?
The second course was kielbasa, of all things, which I really do not like. Kielbasa, those pickled pepperoncini peppers, fingerling potatoes, and tarragon. You know, the potato and tarragon, not so bad. But the pepperoncini and the kielbasa, it's like, I really would never order that at a restaurant for dinner, you know. That's something maybe you have as a little snack or something. So, again, you know, I wouldn't say those were the worst ingredients you could have gotten, but I would say it's like the best either.
I just can't imagine having to make something with those.
Oh, I hear a duh. For the dessert round, we had a cocoa puff cereal, marshmallow fluff. I think you know recall that, which is like the marshmallow spread, and then it was dried strawberries and chocolate chips. Those are very dessert friendly ingredients, I would have to say, but trying to use all of them in one dish. Very lively doctor. Did one of those ingredients set up?
I'm sorry, in the background here I've had a dog go crazy at the post office at the mailman, so I apologize.
That's okay.
I hope you didn't have to hear any of that. Did you think while the while you're cooking with these bizarre ingredients that there was a producer somewhere in the back watching on camera, just cracking up, thinking, "Oh my God, what have I done to these people?"
Of course, and I think everything was engineered for that dramatic TV effect because the episode progressed and you got into the different rounds, if you made it that far, they would kind of sabotage you. They like remove equipment, they, you know, rearrange the fridge, where when you first saw it, they allow you to go do this walkthrough so you can kind of familiarize yourself. But if you get it to the second round, things have been moved, things have been taken away. For the dessert round, they've, taken away some of the eggs. And so, they want to see you frustrated and flustered. It makes for great television. And believe me, I'm sure they were laughing and thinking like, oh, what other evil things can we create next time around,
And now, did you know when you were taping it that they were recording the judges whispering and saying all sorts of nasty things about, the prep and the way things were going and, oh, that's a terrible mistake. Oh, what is she, out of her mind?
Actually, we're sequestered when the judges deliberate. We're in the little kind of green room, that little room they show us sitting and talking. So we don't hear any of that. And I guess maybe it's to our benefit in hindsight, because you really don't want to feel like deflated. You still want to kind of feel buoyant, like, okay, I still have a chance, instead of feeling like your dish has been completely like butchered and dissected and torn apart.
Yeah, it's an interesting part of the show, watching them comment while you're doing your work, because I'm thinking, and it's not really clear if you can hear them or not. I assume that you can't, but...
Some comments I did hear. I remember in the dessert round when I was really fired up because I made it that far, I heard Jeffrey Zakarian at one point saying, wow, Jackie's another person right now. She is really charged up. And actually, that kind of gave me a boost, because it's like, yeah, I am. I was charged up to make it through that round.
I want to go back for a minute and ask you about the audition for the show. Was there anything weird about the audition? Did they give you... unconnected ingredients then to cook, or did they just have you come on and talk about food, or how do you audition for something like that?
It was definitely not a demonstration. They take into account consideration your background, your resume, and also they do bring you into for a series of interviews so that you can discuss. And I think they put you on tape so they can see how you will come across on television. They do want you to sound somewhat articulate. I think they liked me because out of all the chefs for that first season, I was the only one who was a private chef working on yachts. So that was another, just to kind of give you a wide range of chefs that were working out there and were available. I would say that the auditions weren't ordinary. They did make you wait a long time. Once, they spoke with you, they said, you're under consideration, but they did take a long time to finally say, okay, we've chosen you to appear. I guess they, want to kind of see how everybody pairs up and how many men and women they had. So that was it. Other than that, no, not so much.
So you were cooking on yachts at the time, a big, private type of thing. What's happened in your career since doing the show?
I have pretty much weaned myself away from yachting. I am back in New York, and I'm working for a private family in New York as a chef. I am currently shopping around a cookbook that I've written, and I'm working with a couple of interesting websites. One is called ChefSign.com, which I'm a kind of a co-founder. That is a website and engineered towards home cooks. It's like every time you have a kitchen dilemma, you can actually go on and have live chat or a phone conversation with a real chef. So, it's like, cooking emergency 911. You actually get to speak to somebody who's going to coach you through your cooking dilemma. And there's another site that I've actually written a few articles for, and I'm a featured expert. It is genconnect.com. And that's a new website, geared towards lifestyles and health and relationships, and I'm on there as like kind of a food expert. Currently, I'm working on my nutrition certification. I've always been a very healthy person, and I never let food interfere with my healthy lifestyle that I've always had. I mean, I've always been an athlete, so I think moving forward, I see myself being more and more involved in a nutrition aspect of the culinary field, and I'm really excited about that next venture, because I've been a chef, if you think about it, over 16 years, private chef for 11. I don't know how much longer I physically want to cook per se, so I have to think about, okay, where's the next culinary chapter coming from, and I see myself moving in that direction,
looking for other ways to apply your skills, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Taking my culinary expertise and now, okay, let me twist that. So here's how you can still, you know, have amazing food without compromising your health. Still have great taste, but like in a more healthy, nutritious way, more sustainable, I feel. You can't eat at restaurants and have these gourmet meals every day and not weigh 300 pounds. You have to,
yeah.
You know, like I don't even do it. Even my clients, they don't want that kind of food. They want to eat clean. You want to feel nourished and healthy, but eat great mm-hmm. food. You know?
I get
yeah.
it. Well, two more questions. We'll let you go.
Sure.
You know, I remember watching the first season of Hell's Kitchen on Fox and thinking, obviously, these poor idiots didn't know what they were in for when they signed on. What surprised me is after the first season that anyone was willing to sign on to come back and do the show once they saw what they were in for. And I you know, Chopped is not as brutal. It can be brutal in some ways. I mean, you're definitely getting critiqued by, you know, peers, so to speak, and they're putting you in untenable situations. Are you surprised that people, like you were on the first season of Chopped and said, had the same general experience, I imagine, that the Hell's Kitchen people did. You don't know what's being thrown at you. Are you surprised that people keep coming back to these shows even once they know, you know, what they're in for?
Oh, I'm not surprised at all, actually. And had I not been on the first episode, I would probably vie to get on because, you know, a lot of chefs tend to be adrenaline junkies, and there is a huge rush. Like, you know, when you know the clock is ticking, it's like Friday night, and you have 300 people in the dining room all waiting to eat. Okay, how are you going to manage that time and get food out? So now it's just you alone in the kitchen, 30 minutes, weird ingredients, and it's a rush to be in that environment and see what you can, you know, produce. It's a test of a true chef, and I would definitely, you know, try to get on a show if I had not been on the first season. And I'm not surprised they want to come on. And, you know, it's not for sheer bragging, right? At $10,000, it's not so hard to swallow. That's the prize for winning your episode. So, you know, that alone would be a motivational factor for people to want to come
and
on.
And has being on the show had a positive impact on your career?
Oh, yes, I would definitely say so. And, you know, I've sometimes been recognized on the street. I mean, living in New York, there's so many foodaholics. I mean, people are either, you know, they love to go out to eat, they consider themselves foodies, or they're, like, hooked on cooking television. And I've definitely been recognized, you know, definitely been, you know, comped some delicious snacks and stuff at some restaurants. And like, oh, my God, you're that girl from Chopped, you know? So definitely positive aspects. And also having one Chopped, it's definitely put me in a different category than had I not won. Had I just appeared, that would have been one thing. But having been a winner, I think definitely a positive spin on whatever I choose to do, whether I, you know, continue to pursue a career driven by media or just, you know, being a chef. I think people are just interested in knowing, like, how your experience was and... Yeah, it's definitely a positive
cool.
impact.
Well, Jackie, tell people where they can find you online if they're interested in more information or want to work with you on something.
Okay, fabulous. I'm currently working on my website. Should be up in a couple of weeks, but in the meantime, you can find me on Facebook, Jackie M. Lee. You can also find me on genconnect.com, genconnect.com, and also on Chefline. I'm also a featured chef, contributing chef on that site also. But,
well, Jackie Lee, thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And folks, for more original interviews with your favorite chefs, surf over to our main website, mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen to the show, as Jackie does in New York, with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, just send me an email directly to bob@mrmedia.com. And, of course, you can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and pretty much everywhere else. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you giving up a little piece of your day and spending it with us. Thanks for listening.
Hey, this is Larry Thomas, the soup Nazi from Seinfeld, and I just want to say, no soup for you, Mr. Media.